Have a little message to share with us this afternoon. Appreciate prayer today. I'd like to start in the book of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. First Timothy 6th chapter and the 12th verse. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'd like to remind us today that we're in a fight. I wrote down part of Webster's definition, but I've kind of modified it to fit our, so this is Webster Wilson definition for fight. To contend in battle or spiritual combat. To strive to overcome by blows and weapons. To put forth a determined effort. To struggle, to endure, or surmount a hostile encounter. I was thinking about how we're in a fight of battle of faith. He said, fight the good fight of faith. And I'd like to just briefly mention about the prophecies concerning the church, and I'm not a real big on understanding Revelation and all that, but there's been different times, and I feel like it's part of our battle today, if we can understand the times that we're living in. We're not living in a spiritual awakening or a spiritual revival. There's been a downfall of morals and things of God in our nation and our country. And in Revelation, it talked about the church being the bride, the woman, and she was bringing forth a child, and the dragon appeared to consume the child as it was born, but it mentioned that wings were given her, and a place in the wilderness was provided for her, a place of protection. And we recognize that the dragon was pagan Rome, and the man-child represents the many martyrs that was caught up to heaven that lost their lives for their faith and their testimony. And the church went into the wilderness for 1260 years. And that's when the papal, the beast reigned. There was a true church at that time. It just wasn't very visible in a real visible sense, because they were persecuted also by, the Church of Rome. But it mentioned that the word, the two witnesses prophesied in sackcloth and ashes. 1260 years. It was different than it was at the morning time. The morning time, the church was on the forefront. It was conquering, and the dragon fell, the dragon power. Christianity came into power. But it's an encouragement to me that even though they were in the wilderness, it said the Word and the Spirit was with them, and it prophesied to them. God was with them even though they were in hiding, you might say. Also, in the book of Revelation, that talked about being encompassed by the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet said three unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the beast, the dragon, the false prophet, and it encompassed the camp of the saints. And encompassing means that you're being surrounded. And Daniel, you remember Daniel's prophecies, he prophesied of the world powers that would come into play. He prophesied of Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire that followed, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire until Christ came. The Revelation is that way too. It's prophesying of the world powers on a spiritual level. It's not in a particular nation, but it's powers that reigned and ruled. And I believe we're facing all of those. I believe we're facing all three of those. But my heart takes courage that I believe the Lord is still helping His people, even though we're not maybe on the front stage or the forefront. I want to read just a little bit of a track that has been very, I don't know, I really like it. It's called Just Before Jesus Comes. It was written in China. There's not an author to it. But he mentions Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that before the coming of our Lord, there would come a falling away first. To Timothy, he stated that evil men and imposters should wax worse and worse, that there would be perilous times in the last days. It would be noticed in the scriptures that the apostasy is not concerning education or fine churches or able ministers or large congregation or the progress of intellectual and material prosperity, but it would be a breaking down of faith and a denial of the power of God in Holy Ghost experience. There is at present well nigh a universal landslide toward higher criticism, which is lower infidelism. There is also a denial of the supernatural working of God and regeneration, definite answers to prayers, and the revelation of divine things to the soul by the Holy Spirit, which make up the religion of the apostles and their successors. We are then to expect great deceptions and delusions, deceiving, if it were possible, the very elect. We may also expect great advances in forms of godliness in the last days. Faith will not become low through worldliness and the denial of the scriptures only, but also through the remarkable imitative faith which will work on in their deceptive power. These movements will become an unseen influence in the air around us, and the atmosphere will be peopled with evil spirits and heavy with the depression of hell. These evil spirits will do their utmost to injure, mislead, confuse, and depress the children of God. Our bodies will be afflicted. It will press in on our minds and becloud our souls. All kinds of strange feelings and new and peculiar trials will come to us, a surprising lack of desire and energy Godward, a spiritual deadness, a mental heaviness, a lethargy of soul, an alarming desire for forbidden things, and a peculiar delight and fascination in any of the world's pleasures we dare to taste. It will be very difficult to preach the word in liberty and power. It will be very difficult to give attention to the word when it is preached. It will be very difficult to get real earnest and continue in prayer. This is the atmosphere in which we must battle as the last days darken around us. And I won't read, I think that's enough. But I feel these things. And I believe it's important for us to recognize, Paul said to fight the good fight of faith, to contend and to lay hold. And we're encompassed, we're in a difficult place. This is not it's just a difficult time that we live in. It's difficult on our young people. The temptations and things that the young people face now, I didn't face. You know, when I was a young person, we didn't have cell phones. I didn't have just access to anything at my fingertips like you do. It's a different age, and I don't want to discourage us all, but I just want us to realize that we need to fight. We can't just go along with everything that's going and not realize the things that work against us. And our faith today is being challenged, and it's important for us to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on what God wants us to have. I wanted to share just a little experience I had when I was a boy. I had a friend down the road. I thought he was a friend anyway. His name was Billy. And he was into boxing, and he wanted to spar with me one time. He wanted to spar. That's where you get in the ring with the boxing gloves, and boy, that sounded pretty good. He was a year or more older than I was, but I was a little bit bigger, and I thought I was a little bit stronger than him. And so we got in the boxing ring and we boxed. I didn't know nothing about boxing. All I knew was you put your hands up. You know, you don't just go out there like this and take every blow to see how long you can stand up. You know, this is all I knew. So that's what I did. But he had boxing trophies at his house. And he had a boxing coach in the ring with us. And at the end of, you know, every little session, he was over in the corner talking with his coach, and his coach was telling him what to do, and I didn't have anybody. Well, there wasn't a KO, so I came out okay. But I got to thinking, you know, there's things that he knew that I didn't know. He had techniques. He had skill. He had things that he knew what to work on. Then he had the coach in his corner to help him. And I want to talk a little bit just about that today, because I feel like there's things that can help us in our spiritual fight as well. And I want to start off by saying that we need somebody in our corner. You need somebody in your corner that you trust, that's got your back. You know, we all have different perspectives. We all have blind spots that we don't see things. You know what a blind spot in a car is? It's that place just right behind that a car can be in the next lane, and you just don't really see it unless you're really, really careful and look. We have those in our lives. We have blind spots. And many times we need someone else's perspective. Yes. To help us to recognize maybe what we're up against, or help us to be able to see what's happening and taking place. he had a coach with him. I mean, he saw what was going on. And then at the end of the bout, the ring, you know, they have little rounds, I guess that's what they call it. At the end of the round, well, his coach was over there telling him, you know, telling him all my weak areas and telling him what to do and how to do it. We need relationships like that. We need to be able to open up our hearts and talk to people. And that's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to, and I'm not saying to everybody, but I'm saying people that we, relationships that we have where we know that they love us. And they, we can trust them. We need to be able to open our hearts up to them at times and say, I need some help. I'm in a battle. Would you help me pray with me? Would you help me to see what you see? Help me to know what I can do. That is so invaluable today for us. But it takes becoming vulnerable, being able to open our heart and say, I need some help. I need some counsel. But I want to tell you something. If we do, we can fight better. If you try to do it on your own all the time, you're going to get whooped. You're going to get beat up at times. And we need to be able to get someone else's perspective on our situation at times. And the Lord can help us. I wanted to also mention about Doubting Castle, which in Pilgrim's Progress, you remember, Christian got off the way and he started on the path that looked like it was going the same direction. But it wasn't. It veered off just a little bit, and then later he found out he was in an area where Giant Despair came and took him to Doubting Castle. And Doubting Giant Despair was unmerciful to him. He put him in a dungeon, he put him in a cell, and every day at a certain time he could hear him come down the steps, and he just beat him. I like this example because I've taken a few beatings also. And they are very real spiritually. Have you ever taken a beating from Giant Despair? I think most of us, if we'd be honest, we've been in Doubting Castle before. But the secret was the key of promise. It's part of our faith. He took a promise of God that unlocked the door of Doubting Castle, and he was able to make his escape, and Giant Despair started chasing him, and he just withered in the sunlight. He couldn't handle the sunlight. You know, Giant Despair is not dead. The devil's not dead. He's still there, and he will beat the children of God until we use faith, the key of promise, to unlock the door. We can let him beat us as long as, I mean, he'll beat us as long as we let him. He, in Pilgrim's Progress, he couldn't take his life. But the object was to get Christian to take his own life, to commit spiritual suicide. Just, I give up. I quit. I can't go no more. That's the enemy working. And Lord, help us today to use the promises of God, the Word of God. And the Lord is faithful, I believe, to share with us scriptures or verses of songs, things that we can use to be able to get out and to continue on in God. It's very vital for us in our Christian life. You know, when I think today, I think about if all the people that had gotten saved had stayed saved, we'd probably have a chapel full this afternoon. There's been a lot of casualties. Lord, help us to fight. Help us to learn how to fight the fight of faith. Help us to lay hold on what God wants us to have. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, is another verse I wanted to get. First Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 24th verse, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want to notice just a few things here in this reading here. He says, he mentions this twice in these three verses, but he mentions striving for the mastery, he says, is temperate in all things. And in verse 27, he says, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Temperance is a very vital element to our Christian life. When I first got saved, I remember, you know, the Bible kept talking about the flesh. And I thought, what is it speaking about? The flesh. I mean, I've got flesh. God made me with flesh. But what it's talking about, when it's talking about flesh many times, is being out of bounds or in excess of what God really desires, what's temperate for us. Being in excess or being, one is outside of the commandments of God, but the other is when the flesh, and all of us have natural desires, or they're God-given to us, there's nothing wrong with those. But when it goes to excess, when it goes beyond just the temperate part, you know, that also hinders us in our spiritual life. And then we find ourselves walking in the flesh when we're in excess. And when the scripture talks about walking in the flesh, it talks about the works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. And when we are in the flesh, we don't have what we need to fight a spiritual battle. We miss it. It goes right over our heads. We don't have the spiritual discernment. Many times we don't have the desire, and we don't have the direction that we need when we're in the flesh. And he mentions here, he says, you know, they're doing it for a corruptible crown. They're doing it just to win the gold medal or a race. But we're trying to make heaven. That's the fight we're in. That's why it is so important to bring our bodies under subjection, that there's a temperance in our lives, in the various different areas of our lives. I believe God wants us to be balanced in all the areas of our life. And we have, we've got so many responsibilities. We've got our spouse, our marriage to work on. We've got our relationship with our children. We've got our physical work. We've got, sometimes that's the Lord's work, the Lord's work. We've got reaching out to others. I believe it's vital to keep all of those things in balance, in harmony. If it gets out of balance, we'll find we'll begin to lose what God has for us and the victory that He has for us. It's so important for us to be able to be balanced in our lives and be able to face all those responsibilities that God has given to us. I want to mention too about David. When David faced Goliath, he went with a stone and a sling. I don't believe that was the first time David slung that stone.
No.
I believe David practiced slinging that stone. And that's what I want to... I've been impressed with this term lately about skill and technique. That God would teach us skills and techniques. David wasn't trusting in that ability. He practiced that. He practiced throwing that stone. But that's not what he was trusting in. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. But still, he had a skill. And the Lord wants us to practice in our life, living for Him. You know, there's a saying, it's kind of humorous, but it says, I've said it different times because I've done carpentry work, but I've cut that board three times and it's still too short. Have you ever heard that? In other words, I've done something several different times here and it's still not working. And I've done that. I've been guilty of that. I'm a habit guy. I get on a good song. My wife, she says, "Honey, don't you ever get tired of that song?" I get a good song and I can listen to it, I don't know, five or six times in a row, seven times. And she's not that way. She'll hear it once or twice and she's done with it, but I can feast on it for weeks, maybe months. Still get good out of it. But if what we're doing is not working, if it's not producing fruit, if it's not giving us victory, Lord, help us to learn a skill. The Lord can teach us. And that's the encouraging thing about this, that God can teach us new skills. He can teach us new things of how to be victorious. And I want to say, if we're having trouble in a certain area of our life, if we're not conquering, don't get discouraged. I want to say there is an answer.
Amen.
God has an answer for us.
Yes.
God has a place of victory for us. But we may have to learn something new. And you're a creature of habit too. All of us here, to a certain degree, do things a certain way. And they're not all sinful, but it just lets us know that we tend to do the same things over and over. But Lord, help us today to ask God, and Lord, give me some tools. Now there came a time when David learned to use a sword. He didn't always use the stone and the sling. Before we get to that, there's a scripture that talked about the Israelites, they're mighty men, and it said they could, I believe they were left-handed, and they could sling a stone and hit in a hair's breadth. How would you like to face an army like that? That every one of them on the front line could swing a stone and hit a hair's breadth. That'd be pretty powerful, pretty mighty. But you know, if we practice things, we can get better. If we work at being able to communicate with our spouse and companions, learn what they like, learn what they don't like, instead of there just being misunderstandings all the time, we can learn how to do better. We can learn a new skill, a new technique. He says, I don't fight not just as one that beats the air. When I see one beating the air, it's like me boxing with old Billy. Oh, by the way, I met Billy when we were building our house. He drove a concrete truck out to deliver some of our concrete, and I hadn't seen him in probably 30, 35 years. Anyway, it was a good getting to see him. I recognized him right off. Didn't look like he'd changed any. He didn't know who I was, but he remembered after I told him. But you and I can get better at skills if we'll allow the Lord. You know, learning new things is sometimes difficult. And for example, one skill, I know how to swing a baseball bat. I've been taught that. I've practiced that. I know how to do it. I can tell you, just for an example, there's probably 30 different tips that I can tell you of how to swing a baseball bat that you probably never heard of or know about. But there are things that I practiced, that I worked on, that I knew. Now, if I tell you them all at once, make a list of them, and you're going to try to hit like I show you, you're going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You're going to think, okay, he said, keep his eyes on the ball, keep your shoulder up, keep your feet, shoulders width apart, put your weight into the swing. When you go to do that, you're going to think, man, how can I get all that? But if we'll take one thing and we begin to work on that to where we get better at it, you know, pretty soon then we can add something else to it.
That's right.
And we're not overwhelmed. It's that way for all of us. If, you know, some of you that know how to weld would start to teach me how to weld, you know, I'd be overwhelmed with it unless you just gave me a little bitty simple thing to start on that I could do it, something simple, and then you could teach me a little bit more later on. You know, the Lord doesn't want life to be overwhelming. David started out with a stone and a sling, but he learned how to use a sword later on, and he learned how to fight. And then I believe there's another scripture in the Psalms that talks about the Lord teacheth my hands to war.
Yeah.
He got stronger in being able to fight, and we want to get stronger in learning how to fight the battles of the Lord, how to have victory and how to use the things that work in our lives. The Lord can teach us those things and help us, but we've got to practice it. We've got to put in many times it doesn't come natural. But if we'll put forth an effort to practice it, pretty soon it gets easier and easier and easier to do. And the Lord can bless us with skills and techniques and being able to live for Him. And it makes our life more successful. You know, people that are out in the world that succeed in their trade, that they have a good business, they're trustworthy, and you can depend upon them, it's because they've learned skills. And they use those skills and they apply those skills. And we can do the very same thing in our spiritual life. I also wanted to mention, I wanted to talk just a minute about Job in our spiritual life. Job came to a place where he couldn't find the Lord. You remember he prayed, he said, I looked on the left hand, I looked on the right hand, behind me in front, and I don't find the Lord anywhere. Sometimes our spiritual journey is going to be that way. Sometimes you're going to pray your heart out and it's like nothing happened or nothing changed. And it's hard to get a hold of the Lord. But Job didn't quit at those times. Job didn't quit. He stayed. He kept his faith. He kept his trust and confidence. Even when his wife just said, curse God and give it up. Job didn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And you know, we need to do the same thing. Times that I don't really feel God very close, I want to be faithful to Him at those times. I want to stay in the battle. I want to stay doing the things, using the techniques and things that He's shown me. And God will bless and bring us out into a good place, I believe, if we hold on. One time somebody mentioned to me, when I was a young Christian, they mentioned that that in their spiritual journey, there was times in their life where they just got confused. And they didn't know which way was the right way. But they told me, they said at those times, they said, I stayed put. I just stayed there. I didn't give up. I didn't change. I just stayed with what I'd known. And then pretty soon, after a while, the fog. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, that there was some foggy times. There was some places there where he was going through that he didn't see. And I know it's true in our spiritual journey also. And that fog will begin to question and cause us to begin to doubt and cause us begin to waver. But he stayed in the same place until the fog was lifted. And I believe that helps. And there's a scripture in Isaiah, and I didn't look that one up, but it says, who is my servant that trusteth in the Lord and walketh in darkness and hath no light? You know, we hear messages of light. We hear that the Lord's light. But this says, who is my servant that's walking in darkness and has no light? It means that we don't really understand what's going on. It means that we might be a little bit confused or things might be hazy to us. But that scripture goes on to say, let him stay on the name of the Lord and trust in his God. And also down the verse below that, it says, behold, all them that kindle a fire, kindle sparks by their own, trying to make something happen within themselves. You know, at those times, it's good to just hold on. Hold on to what God has already given you and has already been revealed to you. And the Lord will bring us out into a good place. There's another verse I wanted to get in Romans 5. Can you read that? You want to read it for us?
Who's among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow.
Yes. You know, sometimes it's difficult to wait on the Lord, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to wait. We want to make things happen. We want to get things going. But it says, if we're in darkness, let us just stay on the name of the Lord and trust in God. I believe that's very important for us in our life, in our spiritual battle. One more scripture here in Romans, the 5th chapter. He says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You know, that's what the devil's trying to hit. He's trying to cut our access off to God, because that's our supply of grace. If he can hinder us in our faith, if he can hinder us in getting us into Doubting Castle and those kinds of places, then we're going to not be able to receive the help and the blessing that God has for us. We need to continue to hold that line of faith and trust. I may not know how God is going to do. I may not know how it's all going to work out. But I still want to exercise a faith and a hope and a trust in God that will allow that supply to come to me when I need it. And that's what this battle is about. It's about our faith. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Sometimes there's a struggle. Sometimes there's difficulty. But we want to hold on to the Lord in those times and ask the Lord to help us and bless us. And He can. You know, in combat, that's what they try to destroy is supply line. And our faith is our supply line. That's what the Lord sends through. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus said when you pray standing, He said, believe that you receive. I may not know and understand all what God is going to receive, but I want to believe that the Lord is going to help me. I want to believe and have faith and confidence in His promises and stand on them. And the Lord will come through for us. There's a little saying I want to close with. It's been a real blessing to me in my life. It was found on the walls of a German concentration camp. It says, I believe in the sun when it is not shining. I believe in love when I am all alone. And I believe in God when He is silent. You know, all of us sometimes experience places where it seems like there's great difficulty, there's silence, it's like God is not hearing my prayer, or there's confusion or difficulty. We still trust and still have faith at those times. And God will help us. God will send the help if we continue on holding on to faith and trust and confidence in Him. Let's be encouraged today to fight a good fight, to lay hold on eternal life. It's very vital, important how we fight. And we want to have that testimony that Paul had. He said, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Let's be challenged and encouraged today to keep the faith. Amen.